during this time, as we were looking in the context of what we're going through, the Lord quickened to us to look again at a scripture that we really felt really anointed over it, but I felt like it was scripture was speaking to us again. Mm-hmm. And one of the best versions I'm going to read to you is from Everett Fox's translation. And he is, over the many years, you might have had Bonnie or I read from Everett Fox's translations. It's like Eugene Peterson's translation.
The Message.
They have the Message Bible.
Yeah.
He brings something out in some of the words. So Everett Fox, a major authority in Hebrew, and this is his version of 2 Samuel chapter 6. And it says, "And David continued gathering every chosen fighter in Israel, 30,000. Now, in the regular translation, this does not come out. So it's like these are some of the choicest warriors with him. So it wasn't like a namby-pamby army. This was some of the mightiest soldiers coming alongside David to help him. And this was their purpose. David arose and went along. So all the fighting people were with him. So there were a multitude of people, but there were also these choicest of warriors with him. And David arose, went along with all the fighting people to bring up from there the coffer of God." And he writes, this is a chest, a wooden chest made of wood that is some of the most concentrated wood. And he calls it the coffer of God.
The ark.
And this is the ark of the covenant.
Yeah.
"Over which was called there the name of Yahweh of the heavenly armies." Or in other translation, we would say Jehovah Sabaoth, or the captain of armies, the Lord of hosts, who is seated upon the winged sphinxes.
So you know how you see in the it's depicted, there's these two mighty cherubim that are guarding the place where the king sits on the throne. And that is what the ark was made to depict.
"They mounted the coffer of God on a new wagon."
Say new.
New.
Say the presence is with us, going before us in a new way. Amen.
Right.
All right.
"And transported it," that's the ark, "from the house of Abinadab.
Yeah.
That is in Giva. And the translations in Israel, you'll find that they're still current in some form or the other. "While Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new wagon. They transported it from the house of Abinadab, that is in Giba, with the coffer of God, with Ahio walking in front of the coffer. Now David and the whole house of Israel were dancing in the presence of Yahweh with all the firwood instruments, with lyres and lutes and timbrels, with rattles, with cymbals. But when they came to the threshing floor of Nahon, Uzzah stretched out his hand to the coffer of God and held it steady, for the oxen had let it slip."
And so the thing to note here is that though David understood the significance of the ark, and they theoretically were doing it as prescribed by the law, this, in comparison to what we see, the correction that was made, they were kind of doing their own celebration as compared to recognizing the celebration was actually in the ark. And so in a way, it was them leading the ark, and then this event happens where the priest just touches it, trying to just keep it from falling over. And it says, that was a big boo-boo.
And Yahweh's anger flared up at Uzzah. Yeah. God struck him down there because of his carelessness, so that he died there. That's pretty drastic. Beside the coffer of God. And so some of you may have seen the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark. And in fact, Everett Fox mentions that movie in one of his lectures. But sometimes you think, well, all of this is Hollywood. But this was serious stuff. And that the presence of the Shekinah glory was shining forth from it. And the reason we picked this was, this is once again, it's re-underlining for us and refreshing for us the amazing awesomeness of the Ark of the Covenant. And what rested in it was the Shekinah glory. And in a different way, in our era, in our lifetime then, the Holy Spirit presence is what you can refer to this. Yeah. And that you are a carrier of this glory. And therefore, you ought to be, don't have the joy of the Lord, but be serious about it, because it has amazing purposes. It can defeat the Ark of the Covenant, and they repeat it in the Raiders of the Lost Ark, that it could, the shining forth of the glory would be such that it could defeat entire nations in a matter of moments. So that was the glory that David was commissioned, and he was bringing this back to Jerusalem. So as we read the history behind this, we realized that this is a moment which is very unique in the history of Israel, and that they're establishing in this time period that the Ark of the Covenant officially in Jerusalem is very powerful.
Yeah. And historically, this moment, interestingly enough, we've seen in our contemporary, recent history, the recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. We found that very interesting, that this event is the establishment of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Why? Not because of its location or what it was as a city, but because that was the place chosen for the Ark to rest. And if there's any reason in current political scenarios for Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel, it is because it was recognized as the place where the ark would rest in those days.
And David was upset, we're saying, over the fact what happened to that other soldier, that Yahweh had burst forth, a bursting out against Uzzah. So he called that place Pereth Uzzah, bursting out at Uzzah until the very day.
Wow.
And David was fearful of Yahweh on that day. It doesn't hurt for us to have a healthy fear of the Lord. Mm-hmm. How will the coffer of Yahweh ever come to me? David said. And David would not remove the coffer of Yahweh, that's the Ark of the Covenant, from him to the city of David. So David turned it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The coffer stayed at the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months. And Yahweh blessed Obed-Edom and all his household.
And for me, this season that we've been in a way, we've had this cloistered season for 3 months, where many of us have had an opportunity to return to some of our basic spiritual disciplines, to return to, and start to think again about the vision and the commission of God for our lives, not to take some of the simple things for granted. And this Obed-Edom was not even an Israelite. But it's interesting, we drove recently by that place, by that house, on the way to Jerusalem when we were in Israel this last time. But as the wherever the presence was, that's where the blessing is. Or wherever the presence is, that's where the blessing is. And that's what this indicates. As we said earlier, that you are a vessel of the presence of Jesus, meaning the blessing of God dwells with you, in you, and also for your whole house. And additionally, wherever you go, that pillar of fire and cloud, because the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, is there for anyone to also receive the overflow of the blessing.
And it was told, it says, to King David, verse 12, Yahweh has blessed the house of Obed-Edom.
Amen, Lord.
And all that is on his account of the coffer of God.
Amen, Lord.
Now, we have mentioned that. I believe it's appropriate for us to reaffirm and underline that Obed-Edom's house was a living example of how the glory outshining literally defined a new season of amazing blessing and glory. And I am praying, may we, during the midst of this COVID virus attack, that we come out like the house of Obed-Edom.
Amen.
That we have exercised faith, and whatever we have in that context, we say, Lord, our house is open.
Amen.
All, every chamber is open.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Our family, we are open. Our church is open for you to come and shine forth your glory as never before. That give victory to your people. And so it's wise at this time. There's plenty for us, if you want to look at some of the negative things happening during the COVID virus. But the Lord said, I want you to see what I was doing in the time of Obed-Edom. And then what happened as David received that word. He didn't doubt it or anything.
Yeah.
He says, what I want is part of that for all my people. That blessing that Obed-Edom has, where they have all their bills paid, every business, whatever that Obed-Edom has, or his children have, or his grandchildren, they are blessed out of their socks. So I am claiming that our God is a generous God, and he is not a chinchy God. He is not, I just have so much, I don't know. He's a generous, generous God. He wants to give out. We want to claim it for everybody.
And if you put yourself into the story, you can see this event, this absolutely unexpected event, shocks David. I mean, the priest has just died as they're thinking, we're going to worship God. We're going to reestablish the kingdom dynamic and all of that kind of stuff. And so he's had this unexpected, terrible event. Boom! Stops him dead in his tracks for 3 months. And during that time, he rediscovers. He turns back to the Lord. Just imagine what his prayer life was. What his musings, David, were as the king to lead the nation. And in a very big way, it's like what the world has experienced, what the church has experienced this last 3 months, where suddenly this unexpected thing has hit, and there is life and death in this, in this dynamic. So David is rethinking, and you might imagine the conversations that he's having with his military leaders, these choice men that he has around him, with his advisors and counselors, what his prayer life was like during that time. And it doesn't fill in all the blanks for us, but this is very much possibly like the scenario that we have just been through. And so then he gets this message that where the presence is, there is blessing. And in the meantime, as he's been stopped short in this radical way, there is a way that he understands. And this time, it's not proceeding sort of under the assumption, we've got the ark, we're the people of Israel. It's recognizing in the fear of the Lord that God, Yahweh, the captain of hosts, is going before us. And we are his servants, his subjects in his kingdom. And then, therefore, rather than they're leading the ark into Jerusalem, they're following the ark into Jerusalem. And so for the onlooker, it might have looked a little bit the same, but the dynamic of what was actually occurring in that moment was very, very different. And one of the things that I note about the way that they bring it up this time, where before it lists, you know, they've got their worship going and they've got all their instruments and all that kind of stuff. In this new event, it's the shofar going. And the interesting thing about the shofar is the shofar demonstrates that it's not the human voice, but it is actually the breath of God that's speaking. And there is a different sound, a different hearing, and a different interpretation. So when Pastor Mahesh was blowing the shofar earlier, I was thinking about the ark coming back. Amen. So there is a new way. There's a new anointing. We're coming back into the city. We're coming back into the destiny that God has planned for our lives, back into the things he's given us to steward, but we're coming in a new way. And this is a way recognizing his presence and the fear of the Lord, recognizing his power in our midst, his commission on us, and that we are carriers, not only of his presence and revelation, but of the blessing and of miracles. And so David comes back.
It says here, though, so David went and brought up the coffer of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And it was when those transporting the coffer of Yahweh had stepped forward and six steps, he offered up an ox and a fatling.
Yeah.
Now David was whirling with all his might in the presence of God. So this is a response. We don't have to be ashamed of anybody else. That we are excited, our God is with us. That's what David was demonstrating. Our God is with us.
Amen.
His presence, Amen. His anointing is with us. And that he delivers us from all our enemies.
Yeah.
And so now David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the coffer or the ark of Yahweh with shouting and with the sound of the shofar. And it was as the coffer of Yahweh was coming into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Shaul, of Saul, was looking out through the window when she saw King David leaping, whirling in the presence of Yahweh. She despised him in her heart. So she was one of these snooty, uppity, whatever. She was. Certain things were too low for her.
Well, and I would say that she was political. She was worried about their reputation, about what it appeared like in front of the people for the king and therefore her and her house to appear like, you know, base common people that, you know, weren't regal and royal and whatever.
They brought the coffer of Yahweh and set it in its place in the midst of the tent that David had spread out for it. And David offered up offerings in the presence of the Lord and shalom offerings. When David had finished offering up the offering and shalom offerings. Note, take note that this is, let's try never to minimize the offering. The offering was part of the language here, that they honored the Lord and his presence. Part of the way, part of it was for, by what? By their giving offerings. When David had finished offering up the offering up and Shalom offering, he blessed the people in the name of Yahweh, of the heavenly armies of the Lord of hosts. And he divided up food for the whole people, for the whole throng of Israel, from men to women. How many, just think of it.
Yeah.
How many thousands.
Yeah.
And David personally supervised. All right, for each family or each person, here's a loaf
Amen.
Of bread. Here's a whole bunch of meat.
Amen, Lord.
A cake of bread, one roll, and one raisin cake. Dessert. And they didn't count the calories there. I'm just communicating.
I got the message.
And then all the people went off, each one to his house, when David returned to bless his household. So take note, David went. Right now the presence has come.
Yeah.
And in the presence, remember, the blessing is there. This is fresh blessing for every family in Jerusalem.
Amen.
And with that, God gives them a raisin cake, a loaf, and some meat. Each one partakes of it, and they celebrate. And when David returned, so he is speaking the blessing over every family, and then he is returning. He is anointed to carry the blessing over his household also. When David returned to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, went out to meet David and said, "How he has gotten honor today, the king of Israel, who has exposed himself today before the eyes of the servants' own maids, like one of those empty men who exposes himself." This is some real controversy going on.
Yeah, they had a problem.
In the present. And it was Michal who had the problem. She was proud. She was disdainful. And as she looked down on that, see what happens then. In the presence of Yahweh, who chose me over your father and over all his house, to commission me as prince over the people of God, over Israel, I'll dance in the presence of Yahweh, will hold myself lightly, even more than this. I don't want to be snooty and over
serious. Yeah, see that? That's so important, what he says. I will hold myself lightly. In other words,
not take myself too seriously.
I don't. Because I'm the king means nothing in the presence of the Lord. I recognize who he is and therefore who I am really. His servant, like any other human being that knows and fears the Lord. But I love the way Fox is able to take the Hebrew word, and it's actually hyphenated. It's one Hebrew word that makes three English words. Hold, hyphen, myself, hyphen, lightly. So it's a concept of recognizing. And so this was David's transformation. And it had to do with bringing the ark back, bringing the presence back. And we find that there's so much of a parallel in our lives today in the face of this global pandemic and how this is working.
And as a postscript and as a warning to other future people, how they react to the presence of God.
Yeah.
It may seem, for example, you see this, we may repeat this next week, not repeat this, but refer to this one, is that you find as people are baptized in the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, they're all speaking in tongues. And for a long time in a church history, the intellectuals would minimize speaking in tongue. In certain references, bibliography, all of those commentaries, major official ones, they would almost sometimes not refer to them. It's my added, my observation that a lot of amazing things would manifest in Charles Finney's revival. But we would look at those translations of the diaries of these people, and you would not find any of this mentioned. And you say, wow, what is happening? You find they were expurgated or they were censored because this is too embarrassing. So-and-so and so-and-so and Reverend so-and-so were great scholars years before when they got filled with the Spirit at one of Finney's revival. There they were on fallen in the Spirit or talking in tongues or in a trance for 24 hours. Those events were minimized. But here you find that David does not minimize. Yeah. He says, pranced around like anybody, and because I was excited about God.
Yeah, and the next phrase is very different from the one that we're used to in our translations. This one, he says, and I will hold myself lightly even more than this. I'll be lowly in my own eyes with the very maids of whom you spoke. And, you know, I think ours says even more vile than this or something like this.
I'll be yet more vile.
Yeah, but it's not to be offensive. It's his recognition of humbling himself in the presence of the mighty God. I'll be lowly in my own eyes. Praise the Lord.
So in the moment, while they were celebrating this and all that, and suddenly David felt like, wow, this is such a great moment. I'm going to climb on that tree and blow the shofar. And no one, they learned not to run up to him saying, oh, king, that's a little embarrassing for you to go out and dancing around and then climbing up that pole and blowing the shofar. I'm just making it up. He probably did other things. But he said, I just want to be the Lord's servant and not be puffed up in pride.
Amen.
So this is a new season they are establishing.
Yeah, and if we think about the controversies in our nation in this last week or so, as the churches were shut down, and the idea that it was for the sake of safety while we were trying to discover what we didn't know and all of that. And for the most part, we were very compliant. But then you see, as it makes sense, and in fact it's necessary, that life begins again. It's very important for the human community that life begins again. And you find in some of these areas, some of the governors that don't recognize the presence, really have no clue, complete veil over their eyes, darkened hearts. The church is no different from Costco. Oh wait, it is different from Costco. It's not as important as Costco. It's like a peripheral thing, right? So this story and this event that we're in, and the story of the day of Pentecost, we are living Bible days right now. So this dynamic, when we started saying that David, his choice men, and they brought up the ark and they began to move, that's what's happening now. And with the church across the nation and in many places now, the church is beginning to say, wait a minute. There is a reason, an essential reason for the whole community, for every household, and for the nation, that the church be active, be present, be gathered together, as well as be engaged in the community. We've done a lot of stuff related to the volunteer service here in our community in various different ways over these months. But this gathering, this worship, and the expression of God is with us is absolutely essential to the blessing for the house and the blessing for the nation. So God bless you. God bless all of those who are watching online. We want to encourage you today. And I want to just remind us as a prophetic community, for almost a year and a half, the Lord gave us the story of David that just precedes this. The pursue, overtake, recover all story. You remember that one? Well, this is in the progression, and I find us prophetically repeating this journey of David and then the Acts of the Apostles, where the Lord told us, pursue, overtake, recover all. And then he said in 2020, it's going to be Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner of victory. And then boom, we have this event. For 3 months, we've said, what just happened? And this is the word of the Lord now. It's recognizing right at the season of Pentecost that the Spirit of God has come, has been given to us individually and corporately. And it is time for us to rise and shine more than ever. But as we go out, we're going out in a new way. And I might suggest to you, the primary new way is in the absolute awesome recognition and fear of the Lord that He is with us, and that we have been anointed to speak the gospel, to share Jesus Christ and spread salvation. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
A new way.
And be full of faith and confidence. Where, remember what we shared then, that where there is presence, there is blessing. And let's not forget that it's not, where there is presence, there is such blessing. So there may be some extraneous complications, things we have to work out, but it's so awesome to have the presence of God with us. Lord, and then a larger, you know, part of the word that in Exodus, near the end, in the end of Exodus, Moses says, God says, I may go with you, I may not. And
Moses, wait a minute. If you don't go, we're not going.
If you're not with us, we are not going.
Yeah.
You sure? No, we don't want to go. We're not going. So he really, really makes it essential that part of the journey was the presence of God.
Amen.
Lord, be with us.
Amen.
And that's something that it be good for us to renew our love and for the anointing, for the presence, and saying, we are a people of the presence. So, Lord, we are relying on you. That's not the extraneous stuff, but at the heart of things, there were people of the presence.
So, we're coming to Pentecost next Sunday. And in Acts chapter 4, we see a demonstration very much in their day of the time that we're living in. And it's that story where Peter and John heal a 40-year-old lame man. And it causes a big ruckus with the political and the religious powers that be. And Peter and John are hauled in to the court. And because this demonstration literally threatens the foundations of the systems, they're commanded to shut their mouths. And in Acts chapter 4, it says, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. And friends, in this nation, one of the things that this virus has revealed to our benefit is the very true reality that there are entrenched places and people and ideas that are saying, church, shut up. You have no place. But we know we have been appointed for such a time as this. But Peter and John answered and said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Say seen and heard.
seen and heard.
Say, we can't help but say so. We can't help but speak. Say it again. We can't help but speak. Lord, we thank you for your anointing today. That Amen. This is one of the treasures, one of the things you're putting in the ark of your presence to boldly speak with anointed wisdom and words, the salvation in the name of Jesus to everyone we meet. We thank you. It says, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what he had done. And so Peter and John go back to the congregation. And this is where they says, Lord, you are, and they pray together. They raise their voice with one accord, saying, Lord, you are God. Let's say, Lord, you are God.
Lord, you are God.
Who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in it. And then he goes on and he quotes Psalm 2. Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and judges gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. So you see, this is our reality, our history. But America uniquely was founded that the gospel might not be prevented. So we find ourselves a special generation. Be encouraged about the destiny that is on your life and why you have come to such a time as this and through such a time as this. It is to shine a light on the fact that you have been anointed and commissioned, and we together to be a demonstration of the living presence in the midst of our nations. And then he says, for truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you had anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate. So you see, it's both powers. It's religious powers and political powers that are trying to silence the message of the gospel going forth. It's kingdom against kingdom. Do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to do. Can we say that together? Lord, do whatever you purposed before. Whatever you determined before to do. And then this is the famous one. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Say, now, Lord, look on their threats. Stretch forth your hand. Anoint us with boldness.
And look at the result of it, is in verse 31. And when they had prayed, this is the result. The place where they were assembled was shaken. That's God doing it. That's not the people. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke the word of God with boldness. So instead of calming them down and saying, hush, you're not supposed to speak anything. It's only the scholars and those who are modelers and all that, and that so many thousands will die and all that. And no, when they had prayed,
Amen, Lord.
The place where they were assembled together was shaken.
Amen, Lord.
They prayed. Place was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And they spoke the word of God with boldness.
Boldness. So yeah. They prayed. Say prayed.
Prayed.
Say shaken.
Shaken.
So the place where they were.
You left out assembled.
They were assembled, correct.
Say assembled. Yeah. Prayed. Assembled.
Assembled in unison.
Filled, spoke, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
So,
yes.
It's okay if you shake.
And I love the result of it, and this truly is what we're experiencing. It says the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. And this truly has happened to us. in this time of being shut down and cloistered in. We've found, I confess, when I looked at your faces today, I got tears in my eyes. I just said, Jesus, this is life to see my family, those who believe and with boldness speak the word of God.
We missed being together.
Yeah.
So
with great power, they gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all.
So great power. Say great power. Say great grace.
Amen, Lord.
That's awesome.
And so today, as we have assembled together, recognizing the presence of the resurrected Lord Jesus, blessing for you, provision for you. Remember, the King gave them provision to take back. So we've taken communion together. As you give your offerings, as you sow, there's an offering box as you leave the sanctuary. As those of you who are watching online sow today, as we've taken communion together, we declare the blessing and the provision of God for you and for your house, for everything that you lay your hand on. Great grace.
Great power.
Be upon you.
And since you are here, I'd like to take a moment to, for you, just within your group where you are, if you're just one and two or three, four. So take a moment, lay hands on the people in your group, if you don't mind.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we pray
as
we welcome the presence,
amen, Lord,
of the Shekinah, the Holy Spirit, bless each of you and fill each of you with His grace. And yeah, if
thank
just
you.
Lay hands on each other
thank
for
you,
a moment.
Jesus.
Let great grace come, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Great blessing. Let your presence go
thank
with
you,
each
Jesus.
One of us, Father, wherever we are, whether it's Brazil or Hong Kong, Israel, oh Great Britain, Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal, and signs and wonders be
thank
done
you, Jesus.
In the name of your
thank
holy
you,
servant.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And thank you, Jesus.
Stretch your hand out forward now. And we want to release all of us, the family of all nations. We're going to release God's blessing, His presence, the Shekinah. Touch every family that's needful of your power, miracle, glory, Lord. Give us great miracles and great power to the glory of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God of Almighty God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Lord Jesus Christ, we honor you. We bow before you. Let the glory increase in our midst, in this hour, in the midst of the virus. We will recall the mighty miracles, deliverances, and healings that you are giving. Lord, that millions and millions are coming to know you. Fill us with such glory that thousands of people in this hour, in the midst of this virus challenge, you are releasing great grace and great glory. And with great power, your people are giving witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for filling us afresh. Thank you, Lord, for miracles. Thank you, Lord, for this heart condition being healed. Thank you, Lord, for this finances being restored. Thank you, Lord, for economy being healed. Thank you, Lord, that those who have lost their jobs, that you are stretching your hand and restoration is coming. Healing is coming for those who have been provided for, who have lost during this time. You are giving sevenfold restoration, Father, I pray in your mercy let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Hallelujah. 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 Give the Lord a big clap. Say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And we are praying that in the not too distant future, we'll be able to lay hands and do all the things. But God is able and he's making us able. And stay in touch with each other where you can. Do email or phone. We thank you. Thank you for coming, and again next Sunday. Hallelujah.